This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show, where my voice is almost returned to normal. I have to tell you, you probably can't detect anything this morning, but I'm almost, Wednesday will mark 2 weeks for this illness for me, and I still coughed my bloody head off last night. So I hope no one else is suffering through this. I know a friend of mine, Barry, has something similar because he's been texting me about it the last few days. And I don't know. I haven't been this sick for this long in a long time.
It's just weird that you feel fine. You're just coughing and your throat or your voice was gone.
No problems. Not short of breath. Not no headache, no sweats, no fever, no anything. Just an inability to clear my throat. And I almost feel like I have a chest cold, but I've been on prednisone and antibiotics and everything else. It's just taken a while. I refuse to accept that I'm just getting old. So maybe it's affecting me more as I age.
I didn't say anything, Carl.
I know
Carl gave you a look.
I'm just saying. It's possible. It's possible that could be it. I hope not, because I was trying to push it off on my lovely granddaughter who was sniffling and snorting and then stuck her hand in my mouth when we went to Branson right after Thanksgiving. But she's doing fine, and look at me. So that's clearly an age difference, right?
Now your poor wife might be getting it, too, sounds like.
Oh, boy. I'm really in trouble if that happens right around the holidays, because she will, of course, blame me. She could have gotten it from anybody else, but if she got it from me, it's all over. I'll never hear the end of it. I'm just kidding. Love you, honey. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Jessie Jane Duff at about 8:20. We'll talk to her about what's going on in the big Army-Navy game this weekend. See what she thinks about that. I kind of know where she's going to come down on that. Tom Ackerman is in at the bottom of the hour with more on SLU basketball and the big football playoffs that are going to start this very week. But first, we want to go ahead and get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Well, you're welcome to say that, but you also have to answer the question. Why are you supporting someone who's been found liable for rape?
I just answered your question.
What is the answer?
He was not found guilty in a civil criminal court of law. It was sexual abuse. It wasn't actually rape.
Thank you. And George Stephanopoulos, although it personally won't cost him a dime, which is a shame, ABC News is going to pay the Trump people $15 million. For the slander George slathered all over Donald Trump that day on national television. We played that bite when it happened. Thank goodness Nancy Mace was on there to keep pushing back on him. He was wrong, and now ABC's having to swallow that egg.
There's nothing political about national security, so we are working office by office throughout this process, advise and consent with senators, and we look forward to meeting with Senator Fetterman right now.
Yeah, of course, that's Pete Hegseth. It's full steam ahead for Pete. He's looking forward to sitting down and actually having a nomination hearing and not just having all of this play out in front of the media.
Donald Trump is smarter than me, you, and yep. All critics. You know why we know? Because he has the White House, the Senate, the House, the popular vote.
Thank you, Van Jones. Took you a while to come around over there at CNN, didn't it? Took old Van a while to come around to the realization that Donald Trump has beaten them all horribly. Man Alive, Carl Middleman, that sounds like Toto.
It does.
Is it Toto?
It is.
That means we got a couple tickets to give away. I just Googled these dudes. Who are these old guys I got a picture of when I Googled what Toto looks like these days?
That's what Toto looks like these days.
I'm just kidding. I remember the Yacht Rock. Is this the Yacht Rock Tour?
No.
It's not being called that.
No, because there are some non-Yacht Rock songs that Toto will play.
Men at Work?
Men at Work are definitely not Yacht Rock.
Chris Cross is.
Christopher Cross, definitely.
Yeah, he definitely Yacht Rock.
And I've never seen him. I would actually like to see Christopher Cross.
I've never owned a yacht, but I imagine if you were sailing on one and they were playing that, you'd kind of feel right at home.
Are you guys proud that I know this song?
Yes.
That is pretty amazing. Was it in a movie or something? What was it in that she would have recognized?
No, I feel like Kristen Bell's. I feel like I somehow know it from her. I don't know why.
Really? She'd done a lot of stuff. I didn't know she'd done that one.
Did they sing
it
in Frozen?
No, I've not even seen all of Frozen.
Apparently, in listening to Kim's promo, she was nice enough to cut this last week because I couldn't talk. And she already nailed down that it would be caller 12. If you are caller 12 all this week, you will win tickets to see Toto and Men at Work and Christopher Cross. That's how you pronounced it in the promo. Toto.
No, I did not.
No, that's how she pronounced it on the air.
You pronounced it Toto, and then we made fun of you for it.
314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. And you get a couple tickets to go see him, and I'm sure it'll be awesome.
Ethan believes that Kim knows the Weezer cover from Stranger Things.
Oh, that could
be it. I didn't really get into Stranger Things.
Okay.
It's a mystery about how I know that song.
So we could be.
It's from 1982. So.
And I was born about 7 years later.
Yep. See that? Now we're feeling old, aren't we, Carl?
Nope.
That's okay. Nope. Carl's not feeling old.
That's what I keep telling myself.
Yeah. You and me too. Yeah, I talked to my buddy Frank this weekend. Happy birthday to him. I know he lives in Ohio, so he's not listening all the time, but I wished him a happy birthday. He is exactly 6 months younger than me. So when he hits a milestone birthday, we always give each other a lot of grief. And he, you know, I can't call him an old man because he fires right back on me. But I did reach out to him and wish him the happiest of birthdays on Saturday. And there, if you've ever been to Cincinnati, there's this great restaurant right downtown on the riverfront called the Montgomery Inn Rib House. If you ever go to Cincinnati, you've got to go there and eat. They've got two of them, but the one I'm most familiar with is down by the river, but there are two locations I know of at least. Maybe there's more since I lived there so long ago. Just when you go to the restaurant, like they'll come out and tie a bib on you because the ribs are going to be slathered with some of the best stuff you've ever eaten.
That's when you know they're going to be good.
Oh, it's so good.
I think of Ohio now, I think of that chili. Dish?
Skyline chili.
That's
Gold
it.
Star
that's the
Skyline,
only place I've
one.
Ever eaten in Cincinnati.
It was pretty good.
It's delicious. A little cocoa in there, a little spice. But anyway, Frank got to go out to the Montgomery Inn Rib House on Saturday night for his birthday, so I was very jealous. I got to see the pictures, so that's awesome. All right, coming up, we're going to get to our friend Jesse Jane Duff in just a few minutes. I don't know if you saw the football game this weekend, the Army-Navy game. Donald Trump had a suite along with J.D. Vance and Elon Musk and Daniel Penny. I mean, the list just goes on and on. It was a who's who of the incoming administration was packed into this. And we'll talk to Jesse Jane about that game and maybe what comes next. We'll be back in just a minute.
How in the world did we lose to a billionaire or a venture capitalist when we were making the case of a county attorney and a high school teacher? And we were focusing on cost of groceries, cost of health care, those types of issues that should have really resonated.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane Duff, that was former vice presidential candidate Tim Walz there, and clearly he still doesn't understand how he lost to a billionaire. It must have been the cash.
You know, it's insane because his campaign spent, what, $2 billion in, was it a billion, $1.5 billion, or up to $2 billion, I've read, in less than, what, 45, 60 days? Like, they ran through cash. And they had basically what a lot of people are alleging to be like a money laundering
Thank
scheme
you.
Where you're paying people for interviews. Gee, Al, can you give us a friendly interview? We'll pay you, give you two $500,000 payments each. Oh, gee, Oprah, you know, you're already a multimillionaire, if not a billionaire. Let's pay you to interview us in a softball interview. Like, who are they kidding? Who are they kidding? They're surrounding themselves. What about Kamala Harris getting out there wearing, what was it, an $80,000 Tiffany necklace? You know, I may have the numbers wrong, but I know it was more than what, you know, I could afford with a car, a house, and everything else in my life. You know, $80K, anything from Jesse is going to mean I'm on the long payment plan till I'm dead.
You know, I did want to say, though, that just the complete lack of awareness to claim, you know, we were running as a football coach, a high school teacher, and a county prosecutor, and you know, we still couldn't convince people that it's because you were frauds. Nobody bought that stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if anybody's ever seen the Tucker Carlson interview with Harmeet Dillon, where she basically breaks down how Kamala Harris even got elected in the first place in California to be that prosecutor, she basically lied to voters, said she wouldn't restrict her funding, decided to break that, and defeated everybody by raising outrageous numbers of amount of cash. Long story short, she was a horrible prosecutor. We can't even find records of a lot of her criminal cases that she actually held. She's been a fraud for how many years? And how, by golly, she ever even got into that White House goes to show the incompetence of Joe Biden, because he just wanted to check a box with her. There are plenty of women out there that could have done that job far better and actually made the ticket kind of a workable ticket. But no, you got two nincompoops. She lowered the bar because she didn't want somebody smarter than her, so she got the dumbest guy she could find, who claimed to be a retired command sergeant major, when in fact he got demoted and back down to a master sergeant. They're fools, they're liars, they're cheaters, and finally, the American people were able to say enough already.
Mark and I have been talking about the Army-Navy game over the weekend, and wow, the suite Trump was in. You had so many people. You had J.D. Vance, Daniel Penny, Kash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, Elon Musk. He's acting more, honestly, like a president, showing up at that game, for example, over the weekend than Biden is. In fact, I don't think Biden ever attended an Army-Navy game while he was president, right?
No. This to me, optics-wise, for Democrats, was such a very entry-level thing to do. When you want to impress Americans with your patriotism, your love of country, the Democratic ticket had never attended one in the entire 4 years that Joe Biden was in office, and this is the fifth Army and Navy game that President Trump has attended. And yes, go Navy, because I'm sorry, there's Marines on that team, and we know that they're going to crush anybody in front of them, so I always got to go Navy.
Yeah, they did. They won, and that's, I'm sure, J.D. Vance was in a good mood, huh?
Absolutely, and so is Daniel Penny. I think the biggest guest that I was happy to see was Penny. All the others are just icing on the cake. We see them with President Trump all the time. But what a wonderful embrace that he was able to get by the current president, the president coming in, because they both defeated, guess who, Alvin Bragg.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
That was the biggest victory. It was 0-2 for Alvin Bragg, you know, zero wins and two losses with Trump and Penny. Thank goodness.
So my question is this: if Donald Trump was president today, would Jesse Jane Duff be drafted onto the drone trap shooting team that's dispatched to New Jersey?
So do not use the word drafted with me. I have already served 20 years. Would I volunteer? You know, I've read some interesting things about these drones. There's actually a Twitter page that's put out that this is actually a DOD operation, that they want to see the reaction of the public. I don't know if it's true or verified, but it was a really interesting read. I think there could be something more to this than many of us realize, that this could be something that shows that our military actually has the capability of doing things that we were never aware of, because we figured under Secretary Lloyd Austin, they're trying to figure out how to get a man in a woman's uniform still. So it's quite possible some of the competence is still there within the Pentagon, which would be great. Yeah. They're sizing up every man's skirt length right now who wants to say he's a woman, so they get an easier physical fitness test.
It might explain why they can look into the camera and say, there's no threat here, but we don't know who it is. Because if it's them, they don't want to admit it, but they know there's no threat. I mean, come on. Somebody's going to shoot one of these out of the sky at some point.
I thought one fell, by the way. Were there not reports of one falling into some area in New Jersey?
There may have been one. I did see, though, with the tweet I retweeted on my handle actually explains that these are those that seek out detection of the nuclear dirty bombs that could have been shipped in from ISIS. And what they're doing is testing the public's reaction to it. And due to the ports in that area, they wanted to see if this was a capability for their drones to do. And these drones have been in the Ukraine, apparently. Now, this is all from a tweet. Okay, so the odds of it being actually factual, I cannot verify. But it was quite interesting read, and I thought this actually makes sense. I don't think this is Iran. I don't think this is China, because it would explain, to your point, this is not a threat. That it would explain that. So let's just see what happens. And if the public starts shooting them down, they'll know, hey, let's not do that in the United States again. They're not doing it in Texas, where they got the guns out, you know.
Of course they're not going to do it in Texas. I'm just... I just can't believe how laid back they've been about reaction to it. I'm just stunned by that.
Very laid back. And then, you know, what's interesting is, I'm sorry, I'm standing outside the cathedral. I was supposed to go into Mass this morning. That's the trolley going by. Sorry. Oh. But I'm in here thinking, but then President Trump said they should be shot down. And I do know he gets security briefings now.
Yes.
So it's going to be interesting to see what this is. I hate to say trust the government, but because they're so lackadaisical about it, there's got to be more to this than meets the eye, and it will get uncovered like everything else. But we probably won't find out for another 7 years.
Jesse,
like
Jane, I will be there for the inauguration. Let's get together and have a Guinness.
Thank goodness. I will be there. I'm on the inauguration committee. I'll make sure you get one of the worst seats ever.
You'll
be back by the ellipse. You're welcome.
I appreciate you as always.
I won't do that to you. I wouldn't do that to you. It's going to be cold. Bundle up. So you're from Missouri. You should be ready. You got your little snowshoes. You're ready.
I'll look like Bernie Sanders all bundled up at the inauguration.
Hey, when it's that cold, who cares how we look, right? Who cares how we look when it's that cold? We'll be out there with a flag and saying, go Trump. We're excited.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, take the hill, motivators. It's going to be a long week. Joe Biden still thinks the drones are toys.
We'll be back in just a minute.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Tom Ackerman in studio with us right now. And Tom, I guess probably the big question on a lot of people's minds is, Patrick Mahomes okay? They pulled him out at the end of the game yesterday.
Yeah, they're calling it week to week.
Okay.
Because, well, the NFL is week to week.
Week to week, so that's true.
Another week. I got to think, if he can play, he will. Had the Bills lost yesterday, the Lions, I would just pull Mahomes out of there. You don't need him. I mean, you would have wrapped up home field advantage throughout the playoffs had the Bills lost yesterday, but they didn't. They won at Detroit, so it's still a two-game lead for Kansas City with three games to go. So these games do matter, and this matters. I mean, hosting the playoffs at Arrowhead Stadium is a lot different than having it go through Buffalo. So you got to make sure you secure this thing. Hopefully he's okay. He's a reason to watch football. I mean, he is just a magnificent player. They're a different kind of Chiefs team, though. I know a lot of people are like, they're not as good as they used to be. No, no, no. They are a different team than they used to be. They are a defensive-minded, hard-nosed, physical football team. The Chiefs will beat you up, and they will get turnovers. They are a fantastic team to watch if you like defense and physical play. They no longer, you know, beat you with an aerial attack. They will do that.
But if they have to.
Mostly, they will beat you with the field position game and figure out a way to win the game. And Andy Reid's one of the best coaches in the history of the game.
And they had a two-touchdown lead with about 5 minutes left in the game when they pulled him out. So, I mean, it was a fairly safe bet that they could get a couple of first downs and maybe run the thing out.
Mm-hmm. It's an ankle injury.
Yeah.
And we've seen this before where he's played on it. He's had it, you know, heavily wrapped or whatever and still finds a way to hobble around and make plays. As long as his arm is okay and his mind is clear, he's going to make plays.
Yep.
Maybe won't have the mobility that he had before. But again, this is run by, I think, this season, Steve Spagnuolo's defense. It has been fantastic. And they are the best team in the NFL right now by record, 13-1. The Lions lost, so they're now 12-2. The Eagles are really good. They're 12-2. Those teams are fighting for top spot in the NFC.
Ah, good.
So I know we have the bragging rights game coming up on Sunday. I actually went to one of those games years and years ago. I don't remember when it was, but they are fun.
Oh, it's great.
Is how we Both look teams, at Mizzou wise. I mean, Illinois, right, has been pretty
well. They
good.
Lost a close one to Tennessee the other night that they probably should have won,
but ultimately pretty
and,
good. I
and
thought.
And of course, Mizzou upset Kansas. This is shaping up to be a pretty good game.
I think it's gonna be a great game.
Yeah,
it's at noon on Sunday, and yeah, Kim, I grew up going to those games when I was a kid. It's some of my favorite sports memories. In fact, up until a couple of years ago, I think I went to like 35 in a row.
Oh, my
gosh. I mean, it was just what we did as a kid. I went to the game, whether it was with my dad or with the whole family or later after my dad passed away in 93. That was the triple overtime game that following December. And I remember thinking about him, how much he would have enjoyed that. And I just kept it going, kept the tradition going. You know, I come back for the holidays. I go to the Bragging Rights game, root for Mizzou.
Yeah.
And, you know, I grew up a Tiger like my dad. And then I went to Indiana, and Illinois is also their rival. So it was perfect. But I do really appreciate what Illinois has done. Brad Underwood is a terrific coach. The loss to Tennessee should not hurt them at all. They should have had it. But they'll get some signature wins. Tennessee's a darn good team and found a way defensively to pull it out 66-64. But Illinois, I think, is one of the most talented rosters he's had in 8 years there. 8 years he's been there, by the way. It seems like that happened really fast. But Brad Underwood in Illinois will be a great competitor with Missouri on Sunday. I think Missouri is an up-and-comer. They'll have a little more crowd than they usually do. Illinois usually dominates from a crowd standpoint. I think that'll change, and it'll be a really, really fun atmosphere.
Any chance you are going to Notre Dame on Friday?
Zero.
Oh, come
because
on.
Because it's my daughter's birthday
party. Oh, it's that day, huh?
She's like, Dad, I'm so sorry.
That's some bad timing.
I'm like, hon, I'm like, you guys just enjoy the party and I'll be watching it. No, I'm just kidding. I will, of course, we'll have it. We're going to have some of her friends over. And, of course, we got TVs, we got rooms, the game will be on. I would not worry about that. And she's a huge fan. So she, that will be, you know, priority for her also. It's her birthday party. She can do what she wants.
Right.
It's my
I think it's going to be a great football game. I really do. I think both teams are pretty even. Notre Dame has a great defense. Indiana has a great defense. Both teams have playmakers on offense. Both teams are big and physical. Both teams are in the state of Indiana. It's going to be a great football game, and I'm excited about it. I really am. I mean, I never dreamed that Indiana would be playing for a chance to get to a national championship. It's going to be tough. If they can get through it, Georgia is next. But I think they can. I think they can win this
game.
Are
they 10-2? 10-1?
11-1.
11-1. Yeah. Okay, I can remember.
Yeah.
Carl was saying this was the first at-home win, right?
For the new coach, right?
That's a pretty big deal.
For Jim Montgomery.
The Blues.
Sorry, for the Blues.
Yeah, great win yesterday.
I thought they had already won one at home, but I guess
they lost in overtime.
Yeah, they lost to the Flyers OT. They got a point in that one. They got a point against Dallas the other day, but that's only because Jordan Bennington was out of his mind on Saturday.
He only had 18 shots on goal the whole game.
He was ridiculously good. He made 35 saves and made some insanely good saves throughout the game. Yesterday was a nice complete win for them, even though they gave up two goals in the third period. The first two periods they dominated, and then he called a timeout after the second goal that the Rangers scored, got them refocused on playing a full game, and they finished the job. Joel Hofer was really good in goal. He's been good for them, and the Blues stars scored. Buchnevich, Kyrou, Thomas. Kyrou's got 13, had an unbelievable goal last night. So yeah, they're 2 points out of a playoff spot. He's got them moving along pretty well.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's fun to watch. Fun when Carl gets to go down. He comes in. He's always in a better mood when he comes in the next morning and the Blues have won.
Yeah, don't get yelled
at. It's a good thing. Said he was almost late on one of those goals yesterday, though.
No, I Mark's like, could you get fined?
Which
the
one?
The second
Booch?
One.
Oh, the Kyrou
the
goal?
Second, yeah, it was the Booch goal. It was the Booch goal.
Oh, the Booch goal.
Because it went in and out really quickly.
Yeah, would you be fined if there was a delay? And
no, I'd get fined if I went early.
You,
that's
like if
wrong.
He claimed there, he blew the horn and it, what, yes. They didn't actually score.
That, that's why it'd be stressful to have that role.
You know,
yeah.
I really hate talking about this.
Why do you think he's gray-headed? Yeah. I mean, come on, he's stressed all the time. I'm just kidding, Carl.
I hate talking about this because every time I talk about this.
I know. Then it gets you worried about it.
Do you hear
again.
About it?
No, I overthink it.
Oh, you're fine. You're a pro. Look, let me pump you up a little bit.
Thanks, Tom.
You're a pro. You're one of the best foghorn operators in the history of the NHL. You're the director of music at Enterprise Center. You are great at your job.
Thank you, Tom.
So I want you to know that we believe in you. And the next time they drop the puck, just know that we said that.
I appreciate that.
Don't screw it up, Carl. You have a game tomorrow.
I have a game tomorrow. Against the Devils. Devils aren't very good, so we should be all right.
Well, neither are the Rangers, but they gave it a run. Rangers are really banged up, too. But nobody feels sorry for it in the NHL, and no. They almost caught them. Mm-hmm. I think this Blues team is fun. I really do. So it's going to be
a good
time.
Now.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Tom Ackerman, we appreciate your time, my friend.
Anytime, guys.
You bet.
Thank you.
Hey, happy birthday to your daughter.
Oh,
yeah, that's
the,
tomorrow.
The Rubik's Cube Wiz. I'm going to forever now remember her. Audrey is the Rubik's Cube Master.
She is turning 14 tomorrow.
Wow.
She was just born.
And it's going to be a champion.
I know. How did that happen?
Erica's 18. Yeah, I know. I don't know. It just flies
by. Doesn't it?
It's unbelievable. Anyway, have
it's
a great
true.
One, everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I love the story about Tom's daughter and the Rubik's Cube. And I mean, I didn't even know that was even a thing until he started telling us about it.
Well, the video during the competition that he posted, I think, had her at 17 seconds solving it. But I'm pretty sure he said that off camera when they were just at home, she was able to do it in, was it 13 seconds? And you get your own Rubik's Cube and you want to make sure that you have one that can move a little bit quicker, glides a little bit faster maybe.
Put a little WD-40 on there, get that thing zipping along.
If I could just solve a Rubik's Cube once in my life, I would feel so accomplished.
In 2 hours, yeah, no kidding.
No, even if it takes me 10 hours, I would be proud of myself.
It's an algorithm.
I know, and I have not a clue how that works.
So we went into broadcasting. We didn't
have to figure it out. Because if it's math related, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's the same algorithm that says if you're talking about Kohl's, then all of a sudden you get a Kohl's thing on your phone.
Probably. Now you'll get a Rubik's Cube notification on your phone next. If we'd ever need to buy one of those days are long gone
for sure.
You're never too old, Mark.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about this speech this weekend, this event for young Republicans where there were a few surprises. We're going to get to that for you coming up. Stay tuned. That was one of Donald Trump's advisors. His name is Alex Bruzewicz. He was speaking at this Young Republicans event in New York, and he fell over. He just, like, he passed out right in the middle of his speech. And I don't know if he had the flu or what, but they said that he was doing okay backstage afterwards when they asked the question about it, and it's not real clear why he just passed out. I don't know if he'd had a couple of cocktails, if he was suffering from some illness and decided to tough it out anyway, but his words got all slurred and boom, down he went. Anyway, that was the same event where Steve Bannon was talking this weekend, where they were having a little bit of fun with the liberals in America. Listen.
Donald John Trump is going to raise his hand on a King James Bible and take the oath of office. His third victory in his second term. And the Viceroy, Mike Davis, tells me, since it doesn't actually say consecutive, that, I don't know, maybe we do it again in 28. Are you guys down for that? Trump 28!
Yeah,
come on, man.
Steve Bannon having a little bit of fun with the young Republicans up there. He knows that that's not going to happen. As Kelly Stimson told us this morning, it's pretty clear that it's two terms, regardless of how you arrive at it.
Right. So he's already served the one, and he'll be 82 at the end of this term.
He could be the first one elected three times, you could argue, but I don't know that that they're going to recognize the one in the middle is the problem. I mentioned this earlier. I just want to get back to it for just a second because some pretty interesting comments made this weekend. I played for you originally the situation where Nancy Mace got into it with George Stephanopoulos and where George made a $15 million mistake on ABC News because they've now agreed, they've settled out of court to pay Trump $15 million for this.
I mean, you keep saying I'm shaming you. There's
you are. The question, it is.
How is the question asking you about a presidential candidate who's
you're
been
asking a rape victim.
And there's no question about that. And you've courageously talked about that.
Because I've been raped. I think that's just
no, I'm questioning your political choices because you're supporting
me. You're
someone who's been found
me.
Liable for rape. No, actually, I'm not trying to
you
shame
are. You. That's exactly
you're not
what
answering
you're doing.
The question.
I think it's disgusting.
Well, you're welcome to say that, but you also have to answer the question. Why are you supporting someone who's been found liable for rape?
I just answered your question.
What is the answer?
He was not found guilty in a criminal court of law. It was sexual abuse. It wasn't actually rape.
Yep, thank you. She pointed it out. Trump sued them to avoid going to a jury. They settled out of court for $15 million. And apparently they're going to donate it to the Trump museum. He wanted the check written out for the Trump Presidential Museum.
Which probably made it that much more painful. One of my favorite things to watch play out has been the people on The View having to make these legal notes whenever they say something, for example, about Pete Hegseth. That has to be just cringy for them to say those legal notes, and for ABC to have to not only pay $15 million to Trump or his foundation, I guess, in that museum, but also to have to issue a public apology.
Well, there's a guy named Walter Isaacson. You might have heard of him. He's been on. He was like a host and I guess played a role in CNN years ago. And he went on to publish a magazine and all this stuff. They had him on MSNBC, on the CNBC, I should say. And he actually had the guts to try to defend ABC until the host pointed out how wrong he was. Listen.
Yeah, I think it's problematic for the ability of the press to cover public figures.
He's mad that they settled. Listen.
This is a case in which Donald Trump is the most public of all figures, and it didn't meet what George Stephanopoulos said, in my opinion, the standard the Supreme Court had brought down, which is actual malice, doing it knowingly that it's false, and doing it to be defamatory.
You shouldn't be throwing the rape word around for someone that wasn't convicted of rape.
Right.
So Isaacson admitted then that he just lost his own argument. Well, I don't think it met the standard. But you can't accuse somebody of rape who wasn't convicted of rape.
Right, that's a big deal. That's a key difference.
And George Stephanopoulos ought to do this. He ought to know this. So, but bear in mind who he is, and I've argued this for so long. There are pictures of George Stephanopoulos standing behind Bill Clinton. He was a top advisor to Bill Clinton in Bill Clinton's darkest days. The Monica Lewinsky situation, the Juanita Broderick case, Paula Jones, all of these women who accused Bill Clinton of sexual assault. And almost all of them settled out of court. I think Paul Jones got $700,000 in an out-of-court settlement accusing Bill Clinton of sexual assault. And, of course, he never had to go to court on any of that because he settled out of court. And those same Democrats, including this guy, are now railing on Donald Trump, who's made some of those same out-of-court agreements just for pure partisan politics, but he'll look you in the eye and tell you he's a journalist.
I like what Trump posted on, I think, Truth Social, where it said how it started and it was his mugshot, and then he said how it's going now, and it's him on the cover of Time magazine as person of the year, winning these lawsuits, getting $15 million, Amazon, Meta, all these companies, because they're trying to get in his good graces, donating millions of dollars to him.
I love it.
The inaugural fund.
Yep, how it's going. I can't wait to be there when he gets sworn back into office on the 20th day of January. It's going to be glorious. We'll be covering it live for you that day. Don't worry. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade coming up next. Annie and Mark are in later today. We will see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.